back in the 80s and 90s, I was a radio guy. That's what my degree's in, broadcasting. And I went into broadcasting. Everybody knows me around here. Everybody knows me around here.
You're listening to 5-Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Okay, hello, and welcome back to the 5-Hour Real Estate Week podcast. And today's winner is T.O. Tom Olmstead out of Gays, Illinois, Mattoon, Illinois, Decatur, Illinois. That's where he's from. And Tom actually had his own company, and he's done a lot of things in his life. But the biggest thing I want to share with you is how he was able to achieve true financial freedom in a short period of time. And he got to basically toss his time-eating, painful business of trading his hours for dollars. And so Tom is a client of mine. I've been working with him for, I'm going to guess, somewhere between 15 and 20 years. And we go back to a Chicago. He claims the first time he saw me was in Chicago State Investor Expo or something like that. It's been a long time ago. He still remembers what I was wearing. And I'm so impressed and proud of him for his real estate achievements using the same information that I give you on this podcast. And I want you to know that you can do this too. And keep in mind, 5 hours a week is how you get started with this, because most of us have a job. T.O. had a business that he couldn't help but being a workaholic, and everything he had to do was 5-star. So I remember, Tom, you came to that Illinois State Investor Expo years ago. And what do you remember most or ahas from that? And then I'm going to follow up with when you went to a boot camp. What you learned. But let's start with that first one in the state conference in Illinois.
First of all, Mike, thanks for having me on. I appreciate, you know, you thinking of me and having me on the podcast. Yeah, I remember that first time I saw you. It was an Illinois Rental Property Association event. I believe it was at the Rosemont Horizon up there in the suburb of Chicago. And of course, they had breakout sessions that week. It was like a 3-day event, and they had breakout sessions. And one of the sessions was this guy from Louisville, Kentucky, who had this thing called had this thing that he was peddling that sounded like it was something that I maybe wanted to take a look at. So, of course, I had my wife with me. And so we went to the breakout session. And I remember Jane Garvey, whom you know quite well, who was also an acquaintance of mine in her POA, Illinois Rental Properties. Anyway, she was introducing you, and you were standing off into the wings, as it was. There's probably 1,000 people in the room, and I nudged my wife, and I said, "Hey, Salisa, that's got to be him." He's wearing a brown 3-piece suit, looked like a bear. I think you probably weighed about, I don't know, maybe about 400 back in those days. That was about 2003, 2004. And you know what, guys? This is the thing about that event. Tenant tracking and investor books is what Mike was touting, and how you can keep track of your business via QuickBooks with his software. And anyway, you know, we had spent 3 days at this event where you buy $1,000 program from this guru and go around this guru, and he's peddling his thing. And the thing about Mike was that day and that weekend, the program that he was selling is the only one that I actually used, and I still use it 17 years later. The same one. I haven't upgraded it. No need to. I upgraded my QuickBook, you know, but not his program. And out of that weekend, his was the only program that had real value, what I'm going to call value, tangible, something that I could put in my business and make it better. All the other stuff was just fluff and waste of money. And we see that a lot in some of these events that we go through and that we go to over the years. But that's what I remember the most about that, Mike. Was seeing you for the first time. And the thing about you, I'll polish your apple a little bit. The thing I liked about you right out of the gate was you weren't going to blow smoke up anybody's skirt. You know, you were who you were. You were who you were. Put on these airs, and you didn't come out with the horns and the whistles and jump up and down and dance. You came out, you told us who you were, and showed us what you had. And you just, it was just a real guy. And that's kind of a gift that you have. And I connected right away. And, you know, it wasn't too much longer after that that I started, you know, getting on your website, and it kind of went from there. But that was a pretty important thing.
Okay. So here's one for you. So you came to a boot camp years and years ago. And what do you remember most, or your ahas from your first boot camp?
The first Mike Butler boot camp?
Yes.
The first Mike Butler boot camp that I went to, and I don't even know now which one it was. It could have been Buy Without Banks, Money Private Lenders, or it could have been the Landlord Certification. I'm not sure. It's been so many years ago, and it might have had a different name. But what I remember the most about it, the thing that made the light bulb go off for me, was there are so many ideas that he had. There were so many things that he was doing that I hadn't thought of. You know, the fact of the matter was, I was a successful real estate investor before I met Mike Butler. But I mean, folks, we're talking here as opposed to where I'm at now. And it's all because of the things that I learned from him, but predominantly. But the first boot camp to me was, wow, there's so much information. I can't take it all in. I got to come back and do it again. You know, and I think I'm a fairly sharp guy.
The first one you went to might have been called How to Make Your First Million with Your Job.
That could be. And that morphed into Buy Without Banks, didn't it?
Yes. You're right. Absolutely right.
I think it was. And that was one of the biggest ahas, was, wow, I can go back to Illinois and I can put these things, I can implement them tomorrow into my system and make myself a better real estate investor. And that's exactly what it did.
Okay. So what about lessons learned or life-changing strategies and tips that you picked up on or implemented?
I think a big thing for me is the farther I get down the road, the more success, I'm going to use the word successful because I'm not bankrupt. We've gone through some trying times, 2008, 2009, the last year of the COVID lockdown. The biggest thing for me is that we got to remain teachable, and it doesn't matter how successful that I think I might be or important I think I might am. If I can remain teachable and put myself in a spot where I can continue to learn, I'm always going to get better. By the time I think I've got it all figured out and I've got the thing down pat, my cheese gets moved. And if I'm not teachable, I'm going to maybe miss the boat.
Okay. So now let's jump in this time capsule thing and go back to maybe year 2005, I'm guessing. And tell us about your first 3 years of transitioning from you being a successful real estate investor to using some of the tools, resources, and things you learned from Mike.
Well, a couple things I did right out of the gate. Remember back in Chicago, when I first met you, I got the investor books in tenant tracking, which works with QuickBooks as a bean counter and also to track my tenants and stuff like that. That was a game changer for me. That was a game changer because what it did for me, it allowed me to throw the boxes of bull crap. In other words, the boxes of receipts, right? I could throw that crap away, because what you end up doing with investor books and tenant tracking is you end up banging that in as you go through the year. And then when it's tax time, like right about now, I go over to the printer right here and I'd open up my investor books and I'd print off the year, profit and loss by class, print it off, take it into my accountant and said, do my taxes. I mean, that's a game changer. Plus back then, you know, I was doing a lot of rehabs. You know, I was pretty aggressively building my business. So when I did rehabs, you know, I needed to be able to keep my thumb on, okay, how much money I got in this thing so far? Where am I at?
You know, let me tell you this, Tom was a builder too, and he built an eightplex from scratch, brand spanking new.
Right. I've got a lot of legs up on that a lot of people don't. You know, I'm an HVAC contractor and plumbing and lead-based paint, and I've been a builder and a roofer, and I was a general contractor for years and years, and I had to throw all that away. Well, not throw it away. I had to transition away from it because this is what I apparently was supposed to do, real estate investing, and it's come to find out what I really love to do and what I'm fairly good at and getting better as I continue to do the things. Did I answer the question? Okay.
I'm not sure, but it all sounds awesome. You're awesome. And that's pretty good. So his first 3 years, he rattled on about investor books and tenant tracking. That's great.
One other thing that first 3 years that we did besides the investor books and tenant tracking, what we had done is I didn't have a website. And, you know, nobody calls it until we do a Zoom call. You know how that goes, right?
Right.
Murphy's Law. I was able to get a website within the first 3 years of spending time with you. And that was another giant leap forward, something that you just can't do without today. So those two things in those first 3 years were real game changers and eye openers.
The website. Okay. And so I just want to expand a little bit on the investor books and what got you so excited about that. Prior to you getting that system, you were paying bills anyway, right? And you were making bank deposits. But odds are, I could just envision you being in this office with massive amounts of folders and legal pads and milk crates, shoe boxes, and Excel spreadsheets and all kinds of stuff. And so then you were able to graduate right to, as you pay bills and make bank deposits, it does your books behind the scene so that at tax time you get that. So much, not trying to do a commercial on that, but that just saved you a ton of time. Did it give you more confidence?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because you know where you're at. You can keep a running total of where you're at on things.
Including rehabs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know rehabs while they're happening.
Yeah.
And
what's
going on? I don't know about you, T.O., but I know you were involved in a couple of investor associations, was president of one. I can remember back when I got started, there might be a real estate investor who came to one of those meetings and says, hey, I want to retire and move to Florida. I've got 26 rental properties. I'll sell or finance them to the right person, but I want to retire. And, you know, that sounded great. I wish I could jump on it, but I was too terrified because me working my full-time job, I just thought taking on 26 properties in one fell swoop, that might be too big a bite to take on one time, and it might cause me to fail. And once I got this investor book system up and going, I don't have any fear whatsoever to buy 200 units, 400 units, okay? And how does that make you feel?
Oh, absolutely. And you would still call a mom and pop investor.
Yes.
I'm just a little bit under 50 doors.
And it's phenomenal.
Most of them are single family homes. Now think about this, guys. All right. This phone has rang twice right now while we've been doing this podcast, but I promise you it hadn't rang five times all day. Let me tell you, there's a reason for that. Okay. I literally want my business to run on autopilot. Okay. That's what Mike Butler is all about. Landlording on autopilot. I bid into it and was sold immediately because it works. I'm one of those guys that, okay, show me. Okay. Show me it works. So yeah, I mean, to answer your question, that right there was when you've got a system, when you've got systems, it takes the fear level down. Okay.
Because it allows you to keep your finger on the pulse of your business.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, you've got to have a mentor. You know, I didn't have one until I met you. Okay. So you're my mentor. You have been for 15, 17 years. And that has allowed me to continue to grow in my business. And that goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago. You know, you just got to remain teachable. And if I can do that, I'm going to continue to take steps forward, no matter what happens out here.
Yeah. Has your education ever stopped?
No, heavens no. It never will.
Yeah. Like,
if it does, then I'm in trouble, right?
Yes. Because then we become a know-it-all and we don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. And remember, I mentioned a minute ago, you were president of investor group or landlord association or something like that. And I think this is kind of funny, but and now T.O. really, truly lives in Mayberry. Okay. Population 21. Okay. But why didn't you ever invite me to come speak to your group?
All right. Here it is. I live in Gates, Illinois. And if you Google two-story house, he's in Illinois, you're going to find out where I live. I live north of Gays about a mile. I'm looking down at the water tower. It's a mile down there. Mattoon, Illinois is a town of influence. It's got 18,000 people. It's 4 miles that way. And Decatur, Illinois, 80,000, is also a town I'm invested in. And it's back that way about 45 miles. All right. So back in the 80s and 90s, I was a radio guy. That's what my degree's in, broadcasting. And I went into broadcasting. Everybody knows me around here. Everybody knows me around here.
Wow. Okay.
Small town USA. Now, it didn't take me long to figure out after spending money and going to Louisville, Kentucky several times a year and building my business and building my knowledge, okay, getting my systems in place that I got for Mike. It didn't take me long to figure out one thing. As the president of the Landlord Association, it was up to me predominantly to put together a monthly meeting where we would do things for the benefit of the fellow real estate investors in my town. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if I bring a guy like Mike Butler into town to speak on investor books or buy without banks or certified property manager, why in the world would I want to school up my competition? So no, Mike Butler was never allowed to come to Coles County, Ultra County, Shelby County, Decatur, Macon County, as long as I had anything to say about it. And that sounds like, yeah, that sounds like a little bit gritty, but this is how it is. Business is tough and good residents are hard to find and deals are hard to find, especially that out here when, you know, everybody knows everybody else's business. So no, I didn't want to school up my competition. I didn't think that was smart. I didn't think that was smart for me.
Okay. I want to ask you one that's unique to you. You attended several boot camps because you described it was like trying to take a drink from a fire hydrant. Yeah. And I did the same thing growing up in real estate. And then after maybe attending one boot camp 3 or 4 or 5 times, you had a Beavis and Butthead moment.
Well, it wasn't quite that. Let me tell you how it was.
No, here's the Beavis and Butthead moment. How long has it been since you've gone to a bank to buy an investment property?
Oh, 5, 6 years.
Yeah. Would you ever do it again?
No, there's no reason to do it. And that's the beauty of it.
Break that down in Fred Flintstone sentence so everybody gets it.
All right. I took the buy without banks boot camp probably 17 years ago. That was probably the first time you actually saw my butt in a seat down in Louisville, probably closer to 13, 14 years ago by the time I got to Louisville. There was too much information there. I thought, oh, this sounds good, but I don't know if I can do it. So the next year I went back and took the same course. And then it started to make a little bit more sense. I started putting the pieces together a little bit more. I'm a little slow sometimes. The third time I went to buy without banks, private money lenders or partners, the third time I went to that, the light bulb went off big time. And it's like, whoa, I get it now. I totally get it now. I don't have to go to a bank ever again. Okay. The seller financing is powerful. It's real. And I don't know why I didn't get it the first couple of times, but some of it kind of went over my head because there's just so much there. You may be different from me, though. Like I say, sometimes I'm a little slow. But that's the thing. After the third time, when I came back, I started doing seller finance deals. Okay. And I'll be darned. It worked. People will tell you, negative Nancy's, lawyers. Okay. Kyle people. Oh, you're going to do what? On a promise note, ain't nobody going to do that. Happens all the time. And it's
all great. That's great. Okay.
It's great. But it took me 3 times to really get it down into my,
in. So now you figured out how to buy real estate without going to a bank and begging permission to get a loan. So what about the biggest highlight and biggest challenge that you've had since rocking and rolling in your real estate business?
Biggest challenge was in 2008 when I had a parallel thing going. I had my rental properties, which was probably 25 to 30 doors at the time. And then running parallel, I had a contracting business, okay? Plumbing, heating, general contracting, rehab and building new. I was a very busy guy and I was leveraged out. I had 3 truck payments. I had a mini excavator payment. I had a mower payment. I had 2 truck payments. I had a $5,000 nut each month just in payments. And 2008.
Outside of the real estate.
Yeah, we're not talking about the real estate. We're talking about payments. Debt.
Right.
Debt, D-E-B-T. And 2008 come along, it just about sunk me. It just about sunk me. And did a lot of praying. I still do a lot of praying. But things are different now. That was a challenging time. But we got through it because I had made a few more right decisions than I'd made wrong, thanks to my conservative nature, but also thanks to the systems that I was implementing from Mike. So that saved my behind.
Did you feel like you hit the wall?
Oh, yeah.
I did too. You're not the only one.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen again?
Yeah.
The real estate bubble is going to pop. That's going to happen again. But as far as hitting the wall and going belly up, you and I both know a ton of investors that actually went belly up because they didn't have a system. And so what about a highlight? And if you can't think of one real quick, I've got one that I know you've done.
Well, the highlight is being in a financial position to be able to buy my wife a lake property here locally. Now it's on a little lake, but you know, I was able to work it to my advantage and turn it into a VRBO and make some money.
Yeah, he's making a killing on that, and Beth's helping him out with it. But the biggest highlight was his wife, Salisa. She wanted to get, she liked this little, she envisioned this home on a lake where she could sit on the porch and have her coffee or whatever and relax and all this. And T.O. prior to that was like, oh no, that costs too much money. That's just a waste, blah, blah, blah. We can buy two or three more houses with something like that. And so I kicked him a few times. I said, buy the lake house. And boy, was that best decision ever. So now not only does Salisa, his wife, have her lake house, but now he's turned it into, when they're not there, he rents it out on this VRBO. And man, that's making a killing. And hadn't that turned into, let's say, perhaps your biggest cash flowing property?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And that's in Mayberry, USA.
A little lake paradise, Mattoon, you know, out there in the sticks.
Okay. So that's one. So that was a personal highlight in the family and the relationship. So Salisa really loves him now. But another biggest highlight I'd like to point out to folks is how you have had a battle plan, if you will, on where you want to land, like in 3 to 5 years. And the best way to get there is draw a straight line from where you're at now to where you want to be. And what T.O. has done over the years, most recently, is he's in a fast campaign to pay off all his properties. And he's paid off like 13 of them in the last 12 months. That sound right? Or maybe more?
Yeah, we've been kind of holding cash for the last 7 or 8 months because of the
expected bubble to pop. And then the other thing is he is aggressively working his Roth, self-directed Roth IRA, and his wife's self-directed Roth IRA. And so that's tax-free profit and income for life. And with this new administration up there in our nation's capital, I think everybody and their brother believes our income taxes are going to go up. So what a better way to put it into tax-free profit and income. So I don't know about if you agree with me or not on this, T.O., but I think our success in this business is a lot about who you know as much as what you know. So who have you met along the way that's impacted you the most?
No, I totally agree with that. I mean, it goes back to being teachable. Well, of course, you, you're talking about real estate now.
Yeah, real estate.
You, of course, would be number one on the list. And then there's a lot of people around the edges of Mike Butler that I've learned a lot from. A guy named Nick Sidoti, who has been at several of your events. He's a wild man. He had some things that I picked up on. Ernie, down there at Washington, Indiana with Landlord Locks.
Ernie Riddle, yes, landlordlocks.com.
You know, I could just go down the list. There's not popping into my brain, but there's just so many people on the edges. Pete Youngs.
Yes.
Pete Youngs definitely is one of those guys, is like me, been a contractor for, you know.
Mr. Rehab.
And I've learned a lot of tricks of the trade from him. Plus, he's a personal friend. I really like him a lot. You know, Harry Borders, Carl Fisher with the CAMA plan, with the self-directed Roth IRAs. I mean, you know, when you get tied into somebody and then there's people on the edges, I mean, it's just like a sponge. There's just so many people that you can learn from. And sometimes the folks that are doing it wrong, those are a lot of the things that I learn.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. So, yeah. And some local folks, there's a real estate agent has a huge brokerage in a flooring company. Is that right?
Yeah, my buddy Corey Sanders, he's a younger kid. I call him a kid. He's probably getting close to 40. But he's a real estate investor. He's also a realtor. He's one of my primary realtors. If I ever need a realtor, he reaches out for me.
And who's the fat cat in the mansion? Is that an attorney or insurance agent?
Fat cat in the Mr. Yonker up at Decatur.
Yeah.
He's my insurance man. He does my home and my commercial policies. And he's also my friend. He lives right behind one of our Decatur houses, our Queen Anne Victorian that we restored. Don't forget, Painted Lady Properties is the name of my real estate company. Why do you call it Painted Lady Properties? Well, it's because my wife and I have a passion for restoring Victorian homes. And even though they don't make good rental properties, we've restored and retailed over the years a few. And we have a common passion.
In case you don't know what that is, that's like the Herman Munster house. And then they turn it into something nice and pretty like you'd find in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And we've got some of those in Louisville. And he really wanted to see those things in Louisville. But the house in Decatur, I got to tell him this. you thought you bought a house that was, what'd you say? Oh, it had a theater upstairs. That's what you told me.
Oh,
weird big house had a theater. And I'm walking through this thing with him. And this was after he fixed it all up. And I said, this was a, what'd I call it?
Well, you call it a whorehouse.
Whorehouse. That's exactly what it was. It had a secret closet in the back, end of this hallway. It went, had a secret curved staircase that went upstairs. It had a theater with dancing poles and all this and that. And he thought it was a theater up there. And so I think he's convinced and his wife's convinced that it was probably a house of ill repute back in the day.
Yeah, well, it was a burlesque hall in the teens and the 20s. No question about it. A gentleman's club, if you will. Because now after you've mentioned that and I got thinking about it, I'm putting it all together going, yeah, look at how this is.
You know? And all those rooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so, right. But that's pretty cool. So while working your job and having your businesses there, T.O., how did you implement our system to get yourself out of the rat race?
How did I implement it?
Yeah.
I just put my faith and trust in somebody that I knew and trusted, which was you. And when you had something that you were passionate about, that you were whatever kind of event it was or some kind of a system, I always listened. And then I was able to ask myself, is this something that I think will work? Is this something that will make me better? Invariably, I can't think of a single thing that we've ever done, that you've ever done, that I've ever been a part of that hasn't made my business so much better. When I say better, it's like making it so that we can go on a trip if the four of us wanted to. Like we've done my office is this right here now. And, you know, everything can be done with this right here. As long as I've got this, I can go and do whatever. And I don't think I could have, I couldn't have had this much freedom, Mike, had I not had the training and the systems. All I've done is copy yours.
Yep. So we've seen and heard where investors take 1 or 2 hours or more to walk through a house, especially on a fixer-upper. How long does it take you, T.O., to walk through a house and end up making an offer?
Takes
what you're going to offer. How much?
5 minutes, but I'm different. I have a unique skill set that most people are never going to have. I'm an old
drunk. 5 minutes?
5 minutes to walk through it and assess it.
Yes.
I can make an offer in about 30 minutes, and most of that time is going to be writing them up in the front seat.
Yeah. And had it not, if you were just simply a cash buyer, you could write your offer up in short order 5 minutes. Okay. But because you take your brain and go through like a flow chart of things, how to structure a very creative finance deal to take advantage of seller financing opportunities. Is that fair?
Yeah.
And that's exactly the only reason it takes you 30 minutes.
Yeah. And if you have one of these,
yeah.
You got to, you know, you got to make sure you take this with you, property inspection card.
Your mini PIS cards and your repairs helper checklist. Yeah, so you got all those tools there to do that. I want to thank you for being on the show, but can you tell me and all of our listeners on here about your last 12 months and where you want to be in 3 to 5 years?
Sure. Well, the last 12 months, like everybody else, for me, it's been maddening. Because I've got my own view of what's going on, and it's not appropriate to talk about it now, but it's been challenging for some. I've only had one resident out of 50 that hasn't been able to pay, and that's pretty lucky. In 3 to 5 years, I'm 57, 58 years old now. In 3 to 5 years, of course, I'm going to be completely out of debt. I'm nearly there now, but I'd like to see myself investing in more of these lake properties that I can VRBO. And sometime when we have a little more time, if you're ever interested, anybody out there listening right now, that's something that we can always talk about. It's some boot camp. We can network back and forth. But in 3 to 5 years, I want to be completely debt-free. I don't know how much more I want to grow my business, but any business that I do grow, I'm going to make sure that I shove them into the self-directed Roth IRA so that I can get all the income for life tax-free.
Absolutely. That's good. Another thing I want to point out, and most folks don't have this skill set, but T.O., remember he said he was a HVAC contractor? Well, he teaches at a local college or university. Folks that want to have their own HVAC business, he teaches them how to do it. He also is a state certified instructor. So they take his test, they passed, and now they have their own HVAC company. So along with that and him being the general contractor and all this, T.O. has a fantastic Mechanicals 101 course that he's put together just for investors. And it's not going to get you certified to be one of these things, but what to look for, okay? And I learned so much from T.O. on these things. And I've been in the business, you know, 30 years and didn't know these things. So stay tuned. We're going to have T.O. back for his Mechanicals 101 insight and course. That'll be brought to you here in the near future. My final question for you, T.O., is did you ever think that real estate would allow you to have the lifestyle that you used to just dream about, and along with getting up every day and doing what you want?
I'm just white trash from Etna, Illinois. I grew up in poverty. People think they have it tough, and there was a lot of people that had it worse than me. We always had food to eat, always had a roof over my head. I never dreamed in my wildest dreams, even when I got my education, that I would be able to go to the mailbox and pull it open on the 5th, actually a post office box, and there'll be all that money in there. And some of it I actually get to keep. And I never thought it was going to be, I'm not going to say it's easy. It's not easy. Blessed is more the word. But I never thought in a million years that this is what I would end up doing. And I never thought in a million years that it would be such a rewarding and profitable way to make a living. And I'm thankful to God every day that I'm allowed to, that we're allowed to do this. So it's been a pretty good deal. I wouldn't trade it. I backed into real estate, folks, to be quite honest with you. 25 years ago, I was a contractor and I was working in a plumbing and heating wholesaler as selling pipe and fittings and furnaces to contractors. And I backed into my first deal and I got into it. And I said, hey, I kind of like this. And it just went from there. And then about 2 or 3 years into it, that's when I met Mike and things took steps forward. So
That is great. I'm so proud of you and your achievements and, you know, knocking down those things, getting them paid for, working your IRA. And you are a superstar on our Winter Wednesdays. And that's awesome. And Celise got to be proud of you. Does she like you more since you got her a lake house?
Well, she does. But you know what I'm saying? It's really a team effort. I work with my wife. My recommendation is the only partnership you should ever be in is the one where you're, you know, the one that you're sleeping with each night. Hopefully that's your wife.
Well, you got another big one that we can't help.
What's that?
IRS.
Yeah, well, for now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. When I say me, I'm really talking about we, because she's the one that has the class. And, you know, the reason we have such good rental properties is I'm the type of guy that guys don't care about colors. Guys don't care about the way the footprint flows through the house and this and that and the next thing. But she does. And that's where she excels at. And she's just made our business so much better because she's got that influence. And that's her spot in it. So it's a team effort on my end. But we're
blessed. That is great. So we'll wrap this one up. I've got a new slogan that promoting, and I'm going to try to see if we can't get this thing trademarked or whatever they call that to protect it. But remember, life does not have a rewind or pause button. It's up to you to take action. So none of this stuff fell in your lap for free. You might have tripped over some stuff, but you grabbed it by the horns, implemented it, made it work, and look where you're at today. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's good to see you.
All right. We're off to the next one then.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.